Hey everybody, Colt here. Thanks for stopping by and checking out our podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, be sure to check out our website, draftdive.com, or follow us on Twitter, @draftdive and @_ColtWilliams. Now, enjoy the episode.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the latest episode of the Draft Dive Fantasy Football Podcast. Today, we're going over your waiver wire targets, who you should be looking to add in your league's waiver wire process. As always, I'm Jonah, and I'm joined by my co-host, Colt. Colt, how you doing?
Doing great. I mean, we just got done wrapping up Monday Night Football, watching that. We're going to talk about guys we're going to be adding. If you're listening at this point, you've probably already seen the news. Nick Chubb, I mean, what do you kind of make of that? You're a big college guy, obviously, yourself. And I remember vividly his knee injury in Georgia. It was one for the books. And then it happened to be that same knee that he injured tonight.
Yeah, well, so I guess you're asking if I think he can come back from it in the future. And I do. I think medical science has progressed so much that these injuries aren't career enders like they once were. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think obviously he's out for the year and it's surgery and rehab, but you know, I don't think it's crazy to think he could be back next year and you know, maybe a little half a step slower, but still effective.
Yeah, age 20. I mean, he's 27 right now. He turns 28 in December. It'll be interesting to see how he comes back from that. Yeah, I wish him the best of luck. You never want to see anybody get injured, get carted off. That's a pretty bad sign. I don't think it's confirmed that it's a season ender, but you know, we've seen this enough times ourselves that it looked pretty bad. So.
Yeah, it didn't look good, and that's unfortunate because, you know, I've talked about before how much I'm a fan of Nick Chubb and just watching him play, so, yep, best wishes and speedy recovery to him.
Yeah, exactly. So, we're talking about waiver wire pickups here today. You know, there are some guys that, you know, I want to kind of get out of the way. They're rostered in 50% or more leagues, so you need to go and check you know, if they're available. They'd probably be the top of our priority for the most of them, you know, if they are available. But here are some names. We got Kyren Williams, 63%. He's the running back 3 on the year. He should certainly be at the top of your priority list, like I said, as ours. Zach Moss, he was the only Colts running back to take an offensive snap. He just had, you know, 98% of the snaps and went 18-88. You know, for 88 yards and one touchdown. Had a few passes through the air as well. Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, those two kind of split the post-Dobbins era here in Baltimore. They're owned in about 52-58% of leagues. Kind of a split up there. Did you have a preference in between the two? I'm more of a Gus fan myself, but where are you?
Yeah, actually, Gus Edwards as well. I just like him more as a player. But it'll be interesting to see where the share goes, if it stays pretty even. But just as an overall player, I prefer Gus.
Yeah, we've seen him do it before, you know, in these instances where he's, you know, he's had a chance. So that's why I kind of go with that. Then also Nico Collins, kind of wrap it up here. Nico Collins, I mean, got 20 targets, 226 yards through two games. I mean, I thought he wasn't really on my radar. I mean, I always thought he was a bust. I saw him first 2 years, and I did this article on, you know, people who came out with a rookie quarterback and how they progressed and everything like that. And his analytics weren't great. I think it was, you know, the first 2 years, what was it, about 400 yards each of the 2 years? It wasn't, It's not
Yeah, somewhere
encouraging.
around there.
Yeah, but I mean he's looking great, and you know, CJ Stroud, I think he has the fourth most passing yards. So I'm not sure where Monday Night Football kind of, you know, lined that up, but he had the fourth most passing yards before the doubleheader. So yeah, I mean we know that the Texans are going to be down in a lot of games too, so it's only wheels up for Nico Collins. And
Yeah,
then
and Stroud is legit as well. I'm a big Stroud and Bryce Young fan this year, so.
Yeah, I like them both as well. It's nice to see that they're actually, you know, doing something when they don't necessarily have the best weapons around them. Yeah, when I saw that, you know, they traded the picks, and I thought we were going to get some kind of connection for the Texans, and they picked up Will Anderson. You know, I thought for sure we were going to see a Jackson Smith and Jigba kind of, you know, connection back together again, because we've seen it numerous times in the NFL where these college quarterbacks get their college wide receiver, and it makes it so much easier for them, someone to have, you know, be relying on. Didn't quite get to see that, but nice to see that he's making some kind of rapport here with Nico Collins in his year. And last guy here, Jordan Love. I think he should certainly be on your radar. He's got a crazy touchdown to pass ratio right now. I mean, he has six touchdowns on the season, three touchdowns in each game. The quarterback two on the season. He's owned in 60% of leagues, but certainly worth mentioning. Would I expect him to regress back to the norm? I mean, I think he's at 11.5 or 11.2, something like that, TD percentage per dropback per pass. So it's like, yeah, it's insanely high right now. I would expect that to kind of go back to the norm. Any other guys you had on your roster or on your mind there that are kind of over 50% that you'd want to add to the list?
Gosh, I'm making sure that my numbers are close to yours, but I think that pretty much covers it for the guys that are over 50%. I'm almost positive, at least through my research, that these guys that I'm going to name will be under 50%.
Gotcha. Yeah, no worries. So let's hop into it. With quarterbacks, who'd you have in mind? I think we were both on the same page here with Matthew Stafford. Is that right?
Yeah, Stafford. Just they are throwing the ball down in Los Angeles, so you can't really ignore. I think I talked about the Rams being 2 years away, 2 years removed from a Super Bowl win as kind of a team that maybe it's not so shocking that they're okay. I
Yeah.
mean, Stafford's 2 years removed from being quarterback one in fantasy. So maybe it shouldn't be so shocking that he's at least a playable quarterback still. I know he's older. I mean, you thought maybe he lost some weapons, but it seems like he's gained some weapons. So, yeah, I'd definitely be watching Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, one thing that's kind of shocking, you know, he's got one passing touchdown on the season. According to my data, he should have about four or five, given how many attempts and completions and yardage he's had. So certainly, you know, he's got to bump those numbers up, get the touchdowns up. That's the only thing that's missing, though. I mean, you know, these attempts, he's got 93 pass attempts, which is more than he had in any two-game stretch in 2021 when he had that run there, Cooper Kupp. So, I mean, yeah. 300 yards against the 49ers, so I'm not too worried about any kind of matchup that, you know, comes against him. And he has some nice ones coming up. He has the Colts, the Eagles, the Cardinals. All of those are top 11 in passing yards allowed so far on the season. The Eagles especially, which is kind of shocking. They're second in yards allowed for passing yards. So yeah, I think Stafford is certainly some good roster to throw him into kind of a spot start.
Yeah, the Eagles, I guess they've certainly been affected by injuries and also the effectiveness of their offense. So I think teams are throwing a lot against them to try and keep up, but also they're missing some of their stars in the secondary. And so it makes it a little easier to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I can imagine the coaching changes, you know, both the offensive and defensive coordinator go and take head coaching jobs. So, yeah, that could probably play a little bit of a role into it as well. I've got a guy here. It's not a pretty guy, but if you're in a 2 QB league or if you're looking to trade up while, you know, the getting's hot, Russell Wilson. I mean, he's the quarterback four on the year. It's not pretty. I'm not advising you start him in a one quarterback by any means, even though he's the quarterback four in the year. I mean, there was a 50-yard Hail Mary touchdown at the end of, you know, regulation that kind of...
Yeah, that helped a little.
Yeah, juice up his numbers just a little bit, but... Yeah, I mean, I think he also ran for like 55 yards, something like that. Like, he put the wheels on.
He was back running again. I saw him on the list here of percentage, you know, his percentage, his percentage of ownership, and remembered when you had said, you know, he was a start. So obviously I kind of had my eyes on him as well.
Yeah. So he was a person I'm kind of looking at. Like I said, if I could do a trade up while, you know, if at all possible, even if it's just to like a, I don't know what tier of player, maybe a Stafford, I guess if you're he's rostered in less percentage leagues, but yeah, certainly somebody I would be looking to possibly move around. If you got somebody who has like a Jared Goff, a Jordan Love, I looked upgrade there, even though technically the upgrades, but yeah, I mean, quarterbacks, more matchup dependent, right? So not too many names we're going to have here.
There's a lot of matchup dependent. I mean, I was thinking he hasn't really set the world on fire, and it's funny, I'm not really that much of a fan of the guy, but Jimmy Garoppolo's not very widely owned, and Vegas is going to be down a lot too. You talk about Houston, you know, being down a lot and throwing the ball. I mean, I see Las Vegas being down a lot and throwing the ball quite a bit as well.
Yeah, I like him in week four.
Yeah.
He plays the Chargers, and you know the Chargers are going to put up points. So, yeah, I mean, they get Pittsburgh week three. Probably a set in that situation, but week four,
yeah,
especially.
Yeah, that's a pretty monstrous defense.
Yeah, it would be a juicy. Talking about C.J. Stroud just real quick, he almost had 400 yards in his second pro game. I mean, they're down in most games, so they're going to have to do it. And I think they lost four of their five starting linemen. So, you know, they're going to be, and he's the most sacked quarterback in the NFL right now through 2 weeks. So we know they can't run the ball and they're not keeping him upright. So they're going to have to pass. And I think he's fourth in passing yards through the 2 weeks. It's the Jags in week three.
He's got to be up there because, 384 and 242. So he's, you know, over 600 yards. 620 for two games. So, you know, it's a little tweaked from having such a big game this week that his averages are higher, but there's certainly, I mean, he's a talented quarterback, and yeah, they're going to be throwing the ball. So.
Yeah. Loved watching him play. Let's go on to running backs. This is kind of the cream of the crop. I've got Jerome Ford, obviously. I think he's, he's going to be the biggest waiver wire pickup this week. He's owned in 16% of leagues. That's higher than I thought, to be honest. I thought maybe people didn't really have an idea of where he was going to be in the depth chart. And I loved him coming out of Cincinnati. I mean, I thought he was one of my favorite running backs coming out, and then he just didn't get the draft capital. We just saw him Monday Night Football. I mean, he lit it up. He went 16 for 106, four targets on the ground, which we'd love to see the targets too. Three receptions, 25 yards, and a touchdown. He should have had two touchdowns. He just barely got tripped up by Minka Fitzpatrick, which was a great shoestring tackle, but they reviewed it, fell like at the one-inch line. And then it was on like almost a 70-yard run, so he was gassed. So he didn't get a chance to just, you know, plop the next touchdown in there, but... Yeah, he's at the top of my list. Is he at the top of yours?
Yeah, I think it's kind of obvious now. Unfortunately, he's at the top of the list, and it's unfortunate because of the injury to Nick Chubb, but he's looks to be the clear starting running back. They kind of mix in Pierre Strong for a few carries here and there, but they definitely gave the lion's share of carries to Jerome Ford. So he's got to be number one on everyone's basically waiver wire. If say Kyren Williams and Zach Moss, they should also be high up if they're available. But, you know, in terms of widely available, yeah, it's definitely Jerome Ford.
Yeah, so that's actually, you brought up a good question. So I've got Kyren Williams at the absolute top, but I would actually have Jerome Ford ahead of Zach Moss. Is that how you see it as well, or do you like Zach Moss?
Gosh, you know, I think Moss might play a little better in the limited weeks, but yeah, with the possibility of Jonathan Taylor coming back, nothing's really confirmed, but with the possibility of Jonathan Taylor coming back, yeah, I'd have Kyren Williams and Jerome Ford ranked ahead just because you have to assume that for the entire rest of the season, which it just started, we're in week two, they're going to be the starting running back. So you have to put that value above, you know, Zach Moss's limited time, but in, say, the next 2 weeks, Zach Moss might be more valuable.
Yeah, exactly. It might just be a rental situation there, and you know we are saying that Jerome Ford, I mean, he looked like the guy here tonight, but it might have just been because you know Pierre Strong or these other guys that are behind him didn't really. I mean, Strong's new to the team, and some of the other guys just might have not been ready for the workload. You know, we could certainly see them add maybe a Kareem Hunt or a Leonard Fournette, which I think both of them personally are washed, but you know, would throw a wrench into it. But as of right now, Jerome Ford seems to be the guy. We're talking about rentals. Let's talk about some guys who, you know, we just saw that Saquon Barkley, you know, it seems he has an ankle sprain, expected to miss the next 3 weeks. He's kind of superhuman. You know, it could even be just two or one, but we're gonna go with what people are reporting. Who do you have as the next guy up there, you know, for the Giants? Is it Matt Breida?
I mean, I gotta think it's Matt Breida. So yeah, that would be my guess. You know, Breida, who has shown some success in, I guess I would say limited sample size, but he's shown to be successful when he can stay healthy himself.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've seen him just in these small roles and everything like that. He's kind of been the, you know, the backup in the event that, you know, I mean, we've certainly seen Saquon get banged up before. He's kind of always been that guy to fill it in. He hasn't been quite like a Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison, where, you know, throw him in, it's you're getting basically the same production. Not by any means, but you know, if you need a little spot start, perhaps you can look that way. I think there are probably other guys you could words. I had another name here. Jaylen Warren. He played tonight here in the Steelers game. He went 6 for 20. Not amazing there. Not bad. Six targets yet again though. He seems to be the passing, you know, passing downs back. Four catches, 66 yards. I'm not sure what they're doing with Najee Harris there. I mean, he looked good on a few of the runs. I'm not sure if he got to catch the end of the game, but yeah, I mean. It seems to be a weird dynamic they have, you know, for the Steelers team. Do you have any kind of read on that at all?
It's a little tough to get a read. I did catch the game and I saw, you know, some nice runs and plays from both the backs. I mean, Najee seems to clearly be still the lead back. I'm not sure how much of kind of this production split is because they were playing a very tough Cleveland defense who, what, shut down their run game for, I mean, was it 2.5, 3 full quarters? Basically, you know, just completely shut down the run game. So they had to look a little more at having your short passes be an extension of your running game. But, you know, Warren definitely has some value in PPR. It's a little deeper, but, you know, I mean, I think Pittsburgh's rushing woes come from their offensive line and not from the running back. So, and I would hope that they could realize that themselves. So I don't think Najee's really in any danger of losing a lot of his share, but you know, he's just kind of a Warren's maybe more of a change of pace and maybe the third down back.
Yeah, exactly. And if I see, you know, we don't ever expect this, but if there, you know, if there's certainly a backup to hold in the event of a Najee Harris injury, Jaylen Warren is certainly that guy. Speaking of injuries, I mean, we were watching Monday Night Football. We saw Jamal Williams went out, did not return to the game with a hamstring injury. Tony Jones Jr., who's been on the Saints for a minute, a little bit of a journeyman as well. 12 carries, 34 yards. Not a super efficient there, but two touchdowns, two targets, no catches. I mean, in the event that we see a Jamal Williams not play in week three, we know Alvin Kamara is still suspended. So this is similar to the Zach Moss, Jonathan Taylor situation where, you know, it's a short-term rental. Kendre Miller was also out week two with a hamstring injury. If let's say Kendre's back, but Jamal Williams is out, do you have a read on maybe, you know, you would lean towards the rookie and Kendre Miller or Tony Jones Jr., the vet, to, you know, be the starter for the Steelers week three versus the Packers, who can be run on?
Yeah, for the Saints. Yeah, I would think, I mean, my prediction would be Kendre Miller. I don't have, you know, I guess what I would call a solid read on it, but it's just that Tony Jones Jr., I guess with all due respect, has kind of shown what he can do.
Yeah.
And with Kendre Miller, you have the possibility of an upgrade. So I would think that the interest in his upside would be more interesting than trotting out Tony Jones Jr., but that's just my guess.
No, I agree. That's you know, I think the upside certainly lies with Kendre, but you know, when we see this oftentimes with teams where they just keep the veteran out there. But if Kendre gets a flash or two, I mean, that might be all you need, you know, even for the rest of the season when Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams come back, where he can start to take over that role. That'd be pretty nice, but once again, he's also dealing with his own hamstring injury, so that's maybe a little far-fetched. But yeah, I would lead Kendre Miller on that side as well. Did you have any other running backs you wanted to throw into the mix here with us?
I do. I've got one that's a little deeper down here that you might want to keep an eye on, and that's Roschon Johnson.
Ooh.
Out of Chicago. Not widely owned, the rookie running back for Chicago, but he was the number two running back this week and, you know, got a few touches, few snaps. It's just that he kind of leapt over a couple of guys that I think were expected to be ahead of him. So I would definitely keep an eye on Roschon Johnson going forward. He's the number two back in Chicago and he's a rookie. So his split, his share could, you know, should only increase with time.
Yeah, exactly. No, I really like that pickup. I'd kind of mentioned that on Twitter, which you can find us on Twitter at DraftDive and at underscore Colt Williams, if you guys are interested. But I did mention that as soon as I saw that Deonta Foreman was a healthy scratch, I was like, oh, wow, this is Roschon Johnson's time. This is kind of textbook material where you want to add this guy. Clearly made the jump if he's, you know, starting, or rather starting ahead of, you know, one of these veteran running backs. So, yeah, I mean, week one, we saw him with 7 targets and 6 receptions, too. So we're seeing that little bit of pass catching chops. He's always been a little bit, not exactly unknown, but, you know, starting behind Bijan and Texas, it was always kind of, you know, is he actually good? He didn't beat out Bijan, which for obviously reasons, we're seeing Bijan light it up in the NFL. He's amazing. But yeah, I always thought Roschon Johnson was a good running back, and I like that I like that pick there for sure. I think he's certainly got brighter days ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So let's move on, I guess, to wide receiver,
yeah.
Another very important position. And so who do you have on your wide receiver list for waiver pickups?
Yeah, at number one, I'm going to go with Tutu Atwell. You know, week one, we saw it was Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell. It was kind of who do you want to throw your dart at? Well, we see it was certainly Puka Nacua with 35 targets. Nobody's done that at the beginning of their career ever. So I want to see how that experiment goes. But yeah, Tutu Atwell's my guy. He's owned in 32% of leagues. Week two, he just went 9 for 7 catches, 77 yards. They used him on the ground for a run too. They're trying to use him as a weapon. I mean, the NFL is kind of changing, moving towards these smaller back, you know, wide receivers, Devonta Smith, you know, Josh Downs, Tank Dell, like these guys who are, you know, much smaller, but they're making their impact. They're, you know, and it used, everybody thought it was going to be the Van Jefferson show. It It was not. I mean, it's been Tutu Atwell, certainly Puka Nacua. I'm not sure how much longer we've got value in Tutu Atwell once Cooper Kupp comes back, but as of right now, I mean, Tutu Atwell has ran the most routes out of all wide receivers in the league. To give you some context, second is Justin Jefferson. So, I mean, he's out there running the routes and he's getting the targets. So let's hope they can keep this experiment up with Matthew Stafford just slinging the ball everywhere.
Yeah, no, that's an insane stat and a very good pickup. What do you think about a guy who I kind of noticed step up a little this week, who's still unowned in basically every league? What about Josh Reynolds?
Oh, Josh Reynolds. I've always thought he was a good player. He's shown flashes in the past. Josh Reynolds, Lions wide receiver, for those who don't know. I mean, he followed Goff, from the Rams many moons ago. And what I like to see, he was decent in week one, and then in week two, I mean, he comes out 6 targets, 5 receptions, 66 yards, and 2 touchdowns. We also saw that St. Brown was kind of shaken up in week two with what all reports were showing cramping, but also maybe a toe injury. If you watch the game, I got to see that he was kind of flexing his toe. Sometimes we'll see these guys do this to kind of like fix their cleats or whatever it is. Maybe they can't tie their shoes or it's something messed up that way. It seemed to be bothering him though, and I saw some reports on a toe injury. So, I mean, either way, if we see, Amon Ross miss any kind of time, that's just, a little boost to his stock. But even right now, I think, with Jameson Williams still suspended, I think Reynolds is a fine, he has flex appeal, if you will, a low end flex.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, my data here is he's owned in about 2% of leagues, so he's widely available.
Widely, yes, certainly. I've got another guy here. I'm not sure how much of a fan you are. Tank Dell, what do you think about adding him to the roster? Owned in 21% of leagues.
I'm sorry, who was that, Tank Dell?
Yeah, Tank Dell.
I think it's weird because choosing a wide receiver for Houston has actually gotten tough.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's become oddly difficult. I mean, Nico Collins, you figure he's going to continue on his way, but is Tank Dell the guy to pick up? He might be. He was a good, he showed he could play this week, had a good week. But again, as did other Houston receivers, which I guess comes from all those yards that that Stroud's throwing for back there.
Yeah, I mean it's nice to see kind of Tank Dell separate himself. For some reason, it seems that John Mechie is just invisible so far, and they're kind of sticking with the hometown man, Tank Dell. He's only owned, like I said, 21% of leagues. I think you could also, if you're looking for upside, I think he might be an upside kind of play there. We might be able to see him elevate. This week, he just went 10 targets, 7 receptions, 72 yards, and a touchdown. If you're looking for maybe like a safer option there in Houston, because we know they're going to be down in games, they're going to have to throw it. They can't run the ball. We've seen that, through 2 weeks. Robert Woods is kind of a name to throw out there. He's only owned in 15% of leagues. I mean, he's more of a I needed to get just some kind of points kind of guy, kind of like the Adam Thielen type, where you're gonna get the targets, you're gonna get some receptions, but you're not gonna have a 100-yard game, and then maybe a touchdown comes your way. But 19 targets through the first 2 weeks for Robert Woods. I mean, 6 receptions, 57 yards, and 6 receptions, 74 yards. Clear starter right across from Nico Collins, it seems.
No, and I don't want to make it sound like I didn't like Tank Dell. It's just really, I had looked at multiple Houston receivers and I was trying to figure out, okay, which again seems weird, but here we are trying to figure out which Houston receivers are going to be the breakouts.
Yeah, usually I'm avoiding rookie quarterbacks because they just never support top 30, even certainly not top 12 wide receivers is pretty uncommon, but even top 36 wide receivers is pretty uncommon to see. But Here we are. Yeah, I mean, did you have any other wide receivers, or you want to wrap it up here with tight ends?
Actually, I'll throw a couple other wide receivers out here.
Yeah.
A guy who I've watched for a couple of years now, KJ Osborne for the Vikings. He's been overshadowed by Jordan Addison, which, hey, I mean, Jordan Addison's come into the league. He was very unpopularly my favorite rookie wide receiver this year out of the draft, which everyone thought was dumb, and maybe it still is, but he does everything well, and I think he's showing that in the NFL now. But Osborne is usually good for, I'd say 50 yards and, one out of every three games a touchdown. So it's not too bad if you're trying to find, kind of a steady production. And then the one more was Jaden Reed for Green Bay. If it's we're still, I guess, learning who Love really wants to go to as well, but Reed, he's been going to him quite a bit, and he hasn't seen the field, ran as many routes as you would like to see, but he does seem to have a pretty darn good connection with Love. So if those if the routes, if the plays go up, you just got to assume his numbers are going to go up as well.
Yeah, certainly, and I loved watching, watching him come into the league, finally getting, his feet wet here in week two. What scares me a little bit, kind of like Romeo Dobbs in week one, it was a very small. I mean, he had a larger target share. I think he had eight targets, but very small yardage pie, and then two touchdowns. So it's kind of hard to gauge exactly. I don't think anybody's actually set themselves apart in that wide receiver room. With Christian Watson gone, and when he comes back, I think that's just going to elevate, Jordan Love, who what I'd say was the quarterback two on the year right now. So I think that could just
Yeah.
help out, maybe throw a little bit of a wrench into it. But I mean, Watson, he's still dealing with that hamstring, and we know those tend to linger. So he hasn't yet made his second year debut yet, but he'll be on the rise shortly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You can only assume that Watson is going to do nothing but help Jordan Love be an even better quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Now, on the tight ends, shockingly, Hunter Henry, who's the tight end two, I mean, he was the tight end one last week. People maybe thought that was a fluke. He's only owned in 48% of leagues. He is Mac Jones' clear safety blanket. I've got a question for you, and it might seem like a little bit of a spicy take, but would you start, if in a vacuum, would you start Hunter Henry or Kyle Pitts for the rest of the season?
That is tough, actually. And
One
the
you
fact that
certainly
it's tough
drafted.
is surprising. Yeah, but the way it looks right now, Hunter Henry seems like the more attractive option, but Pitts is just the flashier play, but Henry's probably the smarter play.
Yeah, that is a good way to put it. Yeah, if you want somebody who's you're gonna break off 100 yards and a touchdown, that's not Hunter Henry. That's Kyle Pitts' specialty. But it was nice to see that the Falcons versus Green Bay, they actually had to kind of throw the ball a lot more. It didn't really result in too much more for Kyle Pitts. I mean, he had even a worse week, shockingly, from week one, which was already abysmal. But yeah, I mean, I would probably pick Hunter Henry there, but it's tough. This is a guy you Kyle Pitts certainly drafted to be your tight end, kind of set it and forget it, and yet here we are, questioning whether we're going to start him all season versus a guy that was drafted on almost no teams. So yeah, that's
Yeah,
a
no,
little
it's pretty
ugly.
crazy.
Yeah, certainly. If you're looking, I mean, the tight end landscape is pretty ugly. But if you're looking for strictly targets and, a few yards and maybe a touchdown, let me interest you in this guy, Zach Ertz. He's only
Quite
owned
a
in,
familiar name.
yeah, pretty familiar name. He was one of the best, wide receivers over the past decade as far as, fantasy goes. He was up there. 17% of leagues is what he's owned in. This is Arizona Cardinals tight end. He's clearly Josh Dobbs' favorite target. I looked in the into the data. He's got the highest percentage of first read targets amongst tight ends. Basically, they're making a game plan revolved around Zach Ertz, which I think is grounds for tanking. And they should probably lose draft picks for this. This is like a clear, it's pretty bad. I mean, he's got 12 catches, 77 yards on the season. It's pretty not great, but we know he's getting the looks. Even last year, I think it was before he got injured, and before Trey McBride kind of got into the picture. He was startable. He wasn't a bad tight end. So, and this is all with, Josh Dobbs. So, I don't expect Murray to be back. I don't think we have any data saying that he's gonna be back or any reports. But Zach Ertz is kind of a sleeper in my opinion. What do you think on these two guys?
Yeah, kind of an, I guess you would say an ugly sleeper, if I
Yeah.
may. But Arizona, well, we talk about it. We talk about being down in games. And but Arizona's offense is actually doing okay. They're scoring points. And so, Zach Ertz is kind of a sneaky play. I've seen seen some of the data, and he's surprisingly a pretty decent play at this point. So that's kind of the thing, a surprising and semi-ugly sleeper, but that should probably get you 40, 50 yards and the occasional touchdown.
Yeah, it's not a pretty look by any means. That's all I've got for tight ends. Did you have anybody else that was on your radar?
Yeah, I've actually got one here, and he's, I would say, more well known, but he's only rostered in about 20% of leagues, according to what I'm looking at, and that's Sam Laporta for
Ooh.
Detroit. And so, rookie out of Iowa, so automatically an Iowa tight end, you just assume he's going to be awesome.
Thumbs up, yep.
But yeah, he's got 11 targets, 10 catches. He's clearly, set himself as the starting tight end in Detroit. And yeah, with only 20% ownership, another weapon in Detroit that's a pretty strong passing offense, I would say that he's one to look at. But and if I may, I've got one real deep sleeper.
Okay, let's hear it.
Kylan Granson,
Okay.
and he plays for the Colts. And so, I'm not sure if he's rostered in 1% of leagues, but he's gone out. He had 39 yards in week one, 16 yards and a touchdown in week two. He's been, on the field the most for any of the Colts tight ends, which are, Mo Alie-Cox and Will Mallory. He's been outpacing them in routes and, plays and obviously in points. So I think he's, you talk about someone, if you just kind of want a guy who's actually going to produce every week and is almost certainly available in your league, then Kylan Granson, he's the guy.
I like it. Yeah, anytime we can bring up the name Mo Alie-Cox, I love it. Me and him we share the same exact birthday, so
There you go.
yeah, a little trivia question for you all. That's what we have about the only thing we have in common. The guy's about 6'7", maybe 280. I mean, he looks just like Andre the Giant. So, yeah,
Yeah.
that's about all we have in common. I'm gonna wrap it up here with my defense stream of the week. I'm gonna go with the Jags defense here in week three. They're playing Houston. They've, so playing against a rookie quarterback and CJ Stroud. The thing about the Jags, you can pass on them, for a little bit, which we've seen that they can do, but they have a pretty decent run defense so far on the league. Top 10, according to my stats that I've got here. So that just kind of opens them up for, passing since they already can't run. And I think that's going to open up a little spot where CJ Stroud could maybe get a little overconfident or, make a mistake because he's going to have to pass the ball. puts a little bit more of the game on his shoulders, which, like I said, we both like Chase Stroud, but rookie mistakes do happen. Doug Peterson, you know, I think he's going to kind of game plan for this. I think Jacksonville's going to, you know, kind of pull this off, and mistakes can happen, certainly, in the game.
Yeah, no, I agree. C.J. Stroud will throw for a lot of yards, but they're still the Houston Texans. So, no, it makes sense. So I'm going to kind of combine. This is probably kind of some late breaking news, honestly. But Joe Burrow, his status is in question. So you need to really watch Joe Burrow, obviously. You know, hopefully we gave you some quarterbacks to look at picking up. But let's say, you know, something, the worst case scenario, and Joe Burrow doesn't play, you better pick up the Rams defense ASAP to go against the Joe Burrowless Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, who do they, let me, backup is here real quick. I forget, it's not something you.
John Browning.
Who?
Yes, exactly.
I see he's been getting paychecks. He's been in the league since, what, 2019, it shows?
If I remember correctly, I want to say he's out of Washington. Isn't that right?
That is right, yeah. Good pull there.
Yeah, the
there.
University of Washington.
Yeah, one pass attempt. No yards, no nothing. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, with all due respect to him, he's not been the best Husky quarterback out of the past few years either. So, I mean, hey, he's played well enough to be a backup in the NFL, which is excellent. But I would start a defense against a John Browning-led team.
Certainly. Yeah, I mean, that's I mentioned last week, you got to start your you know, if you're going to start your Josh Dobbs, I'm going to start my defense against him. That kind of backfired on me a little bit. But Jake Browning is a different animal. This might be a Kendall Hinton type gameplay we see.
Yeah, he's not a strong arm quarterback. I think he might have been with Minnesota right out of the draft as a UDFA kind of guy, but there wasn't a lot of positivity around him when he was coming out of the draft for me, or mm-hmm. when he had been in the league. So yep, with all due respect to Mr. John Browning, I don't expect him to light the world on fire.
Yeah, I mean, you and I know a lot about football, and we watch a lot of it, and the fact that we don't know much about Jake Browning here is like, yeah, all right, yeah. I mean, great pull. That is a great pick, especially if they don't play. I think it might be a Monday night. Yeah, but yeah, that might make it a little questionable because you might not know if Joe Burrow is going to be playing. But if not, yeah, I definitely like that pick for Rams.
Yeah, and then I called him John instead of Jake.
Oh, no, you're good.
I knew what college he went to, but.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely keep an eye on that one if you're looking for a defense to stream.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's wrap it up. I mean, I think we kind of nailed everything we wanted to. We got to everybody. Like I said, once again, we kind of, you know, we post this stuff on Twitter. We post it on the website. You can find it at draftdive.com, as well as find us on Twitter at draftdive and at _ Colt Williams. If you have any other start sit questions, we're typically on Twitter where we can, you know, help you out with that. Any other words of encouragement before people go into waivers?
You know, just, I guess, have a plan. And I know maybe that sounds silly, but you got to analyze your roster, see where you really have some strengths and weaknesses, and know where you need to focus your pickups. But also know that you can never have enough running backs. So if you can pick up a starting running back somehow, you know, any of these guys are available and you can get a hold of them, you can never have enough starting running backs on your team.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we're seeing that. People are just going down all the time. Sad to see, but the reality of the sport.
Yeah, it's a tough game. But yeah, I'd also encourage our listeners to ask us questions, say on Twitter at Draft Dive or any other of the ways that were mentioned. And yeah, I guess we'll wrap this one up. So for the waiver wire edition of the Draft Dive Fantasy Football Show, I'm Jonah.
And I'm Colt.
And thank you again very much for listening.